right, Genesis chapter 1, if you will, be turning there. But while you're doing that, I try to recognize somebody recently on Sundays. And I want to recognize those that are involved in our worship service. Brother Marcus, who leads our choir, and the choir itself, Miss Wanda, who plays, and also our ushers and our sound people, Brother John and Morgan, run our sound. Morgan bumped her daddy. He no longer does it. And so Morgan's doing it, and we appreciate. Let's give all these a hand. I didn't leave anybody out in the worship service itself, other than the congregation, right? And thank you for showing up. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 24 tonight, and we're going to go through verse 31. We're looking at the sixth day of creation. Next Sunday is the last sermon that I'm going to give in this doctrine of creation. We're going to talk about the Sabbath rest, and we'll be looking at that next Sunday. But tonight, we've been looking at what was God doing before creation, the Holy Trinity. God created, God formed, God filled. We look at two parts. Tonight's the second part of the filling there, days 4 and 5 and day 6 tonight, which we're going to look at. You remember day 1, God created earth, light, and time. Day 2, God created water in the sky, plant life on day 3, sun, moon, and stars on day 4. We saw last week that God created the fish and the fowl of the air. And tonight we're going to look at God's creation of land animals and of man in verse 24 through 31. So let's stand in honor of God's word and let's begin reading in verse 24, if you will. And God said, let the earth having bring forth the living creature after its kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And so it was. So it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after its kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. There's nothing written in there about transgender, amen? God created male and female. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree, and the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every herb, green herb, for meat. And it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Very is added there on the last day. Very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Father, I pray tonight, as we've been going through this study on the doctrine of creation, I pray that we've learned. I pray that we just hit the tip of the iceberg. I pray it will motivate our people to dig deeper and look at this and be able to defend why we believe God created the heavens and the earth and all that is within them in 6 24-hour days, and on the seventh day he rested. So teach us tonight from your word, through your spirit, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So tonight we're going to look at day 6. We kept day 6 by itself because it was the crown of God's creation. In verses 24 through 31, first of all, we're going to see the creation of the beast and the animals, if you will, in verse 24 and 25. Remember, day 6 here, we had the creation of land creatures, but back in day 3, he created dry land to put these animals and beasts upon. So God filled the skies, the heavenly luminaries, and the flying birds. He filled the seas with fish. By the way, I told you last week that God created the birds. They were already full-grown birds. They were flying. They didn't come transform or transmit or from a fish or anything. They were created as birds, okay? And so now on the sixth day, which is what people call the apex of his creation, God filled the land with the animal life and man. He had filled it, formed it, filled it. Now he's got it ready for man and ready for the animals. If you notice that word cattle there in verse 25, and cattle after their kind. That word cattle there refers to animals that could be tamed, to domestic animals. And beast, if you will, refers to wild animals. This is where we put the dinosaurs. Of course, that's not the Bible name for them. The Bible name is found in Job 40, verse 15, the behemoth. And so this is where we see the dinosaurs. Dinosaurs were created with man. Don't let anybody tell you they were created millions of years before man. Because why? You can't have what? Death before sin, right? So they were created with man and habitated with man. And that flood, of course, that did a lot of damage to all but two of them. Two of them on the ark. And after that, the change in the climate and man hunting them, right? Because after the flood, man no longer was a vegetarian. He could eat meat. See, we'll show you that tonight. So they went extinct. Now, the word living creature, some suggest, means animals that have a soul. And so animals do have a soul, but it's different than what we have. The word means breathing creature. They have a soul in that regard. The animals were formed out of the dust of the earth, like man was. Look in verse 24, if you will. God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature. Let the earth bring forth, right? They were created out of the earth, not like man. Look over in chapter 2, verse 7. If you will. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So these animals were created out of the dust of the earth, just like man was, and they're going to go back to the dust of the earth when they die. Ecclesiastes 3, 19 and 20 says, our bodies will go back to the dust of the earth. But there's a big difference with us. God's going to resurrect the body, right? And it's going to be in a body like his. So animals and humans are different. Man is not a high-level animal. Man is man, right? Don't let any evolutionist tell you that by chance we are the ones that evolved. And poor old animals, they stayed like animals. And therefore, PETA says, how many of you know, ever heard about PETA? Well, you can kill a lobster and they'll be on you, right? Protection for what? See, protection, treatment of animals. Anyway, it's PETA, P-E-T-A. And so they think that man's just an animal, so therefore we should treat each other like animals, and we should treat animals like man. It's crazy, isn't it? But both have a soul, both the animals and man. But the difference is God breathed into Adam the nostrils, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That didn't happen with the animals, okay? Now, we see the creation of man in verses 26 through 31, and I want to share with you three thoughts that you see on your screen. Number one, God created man in his image. We see that in verse 26 and 27 again. And God said, divine fiat, he willed it, he spoke it, and it was. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish. Now, that applies to everybody but me. I've never been a good fisherman, right? He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and every living creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he. Male and female created he them. So here we see a divine deliberation between the Godhead, between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This couldn't be let us, cannot refer to angels, because they're not created in the image of God. Notice that phrase, our image, after our likeness. That refers to man. And again, you'll note in chapter 2, verse 7, they were formed This suggests a divine designer and a divine design and a divine designer. There are times that the word refers to create out of nothing. There are other times in Genesis it refers to being formed. He fashioned out of something that already was. So he fashioned the animals out of the earth, right? And so in our likeness. Adam means taken out of the ground. He was taken out of the ground, but his life came from God. Now I want you to note several truths right here about man being created in the image of God. Number one, man was created by God. He did not wash up on the sea and evolve. And you know, Brother Larry brought up a good point last week to me after the service. If evolution is true, how come we haven't seen anything evolve, right? If anything, we've seen things devolve, right? Go downward, right? So we're not a product of chance, and we're not at the top of the evolutionary ladder. You know, I see these t-shirts all the time, shows about the big fish eating up the little fish. And what that means, the survival of the fittest. That's not the survival of the fittest. That's not a Christian t-shirt. That's an evolutionary t-shirt. Then we see that man was created in God's image. What does that mean? That means that we have the capability to have a relationship with God. We have minds, emotions, and wills, and inner nature that enable us to know and worship God. Animals just react to their creator in a different way, but because God breathed into us a living soul, we are meant to interact with God in a relationship, and he can save us. So this image was marred by sin in the fall. You read about that in Ephesians 4, 18 and 19, but it's renewed in Jesus Christ. We are new men, the Bible says in Ephesians. Once marred by sin, but now we can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27 again, that word image again. So God created man in his own image. And now prosperity gospel teachers mean take that to mean that we're gods. No, we're not gods. We're sons of God and children of God. God created them in his own image. In the image of God created him. He, them, male and female, created he them. So we can have a relationship, a spiritual relationship with God. Animals can't have that. You know, by the way, I hate to disappoint you. That's why animals don't go to heaven. Okay? And I rest upon the word of God. You can argue with me all you want to, but I rest upon it. They don't have a relationship with God, and there's not going to be anything that defiles in heaven. Heaven is made for you, right? And then so people get out of the theology and out of the book, and they say, well, you know, God loves us, and he knows we love pets, so he's going to have things up there. It's going to be a whole new dimension. Love your pet while you can, because you're not taking him with you. I told you about my aunt one time. She loved her little sausage dog so much. I called him sausage dog. She said this at her family reunion, Brother Larry. Barbara. She said, if I die, I want my family to put my dog to sleep. And I want my dog to be buried with me. So, you know me. I couldn't take that without saying something. I said, what if your dog dies first? Are you going to be put to sleep and buried with your dog, right? It ain't going to happen, is it? Poor old dog was left out when it come down to the crux, right? So we can have a spiritual relationship with God. We have the capability of having a relationship with God. And there is no such thing as an atheist. Ecclesiastes says God has placed eternity in our hearts. They just suppress the truth for a lie. Romans chapter 1. Everybody knows there's a God. They just reject him. Right? And that's not going to get him out of the picture, is it? They will stand before him one day. We confess him as Lord in this life. In the next life, they're going to confess him as Lord, but it's not going to be in heaven. Right? They're going to realize it's too late. And then number two, God told them to replenish the earth and have dominion. Notice that in verse 28. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and everything living thing that moveth upon the earth. Man was created eventually to have dominion over the garden, right? Now, that word replenish there is Those people that believe in the gap theory, that there was some kind of judgment between verse 1 and verse 2, and God had to start over on his creation, they use that word there to say that, okay, everything died, but you remember you can't have death before sin, right? And so they use that word replenish there, that everything went away, was died, but now man is called to replenish the earth. He's talking here, it means to fill the earth with people. There was only two people, Adam and a woman, Eve, right? So he says, replenish the earth. You know, that was a command given to Adam and Eve. And we know people today that take that command and say, well, this is not a, I know I'm going to get in trouble here, but it won't be the first time. That is not a command there for have as many babies as you want to have, right? Some people act like it's up to them to replenish the earth, right? Now look at the context. This is a command to Adam and Eve. Y'all see that? Why? Because there was only two. And you know how you get three, right? And so there was a command to begin to populate the earth. It's not a command to have more babies than you can take care of so the government can take care of them, right? Okay, I know that's deep for some of y'all, but that's true. It's not that way. Remember when else he said it? After the flood, he told Noah and his family to replenish the earth. Why? Because everybody died, but Noah and his family. So they had to replenish the earth, right? So they began to do that. That word dominion there, verse 28, means that Adam and Eve were given stewardship over God's creation. And again, you know, we're back into this hoax about global warming and how a man's going to destroy the earth and how they're trying to save the earth. It's amazing. It's more of that creature worship, more of that creation worship rather than worshiping the Creator. We are to have dominion. We are to be stewards, you know. And today, you know, if you get hungry, go kill a deer, right? Now, I've never been deer hunting in my life. I've only been deer hunting one time, and I found her in the tobacco field, right? God has made it where we can eat the meat, right? Right, Brother Rex? And so we'll explain that in just a moment here. But we're to have dominion. But now Adam lost dominion. Why? When he sinned. Christ, the second Adam, came along and can get dominion back. People, there are a lot of people that have off the wall that preach what's called dominion theology. Adam lost it, but it's up to us to get it back. And we can have victory over this and victory over that, and we can take it. No, you know, this world is cursed. And Christ is the one who's going to redeem it when he comes back. So Adam lost dominion when he sinned, and now sin reigns over the earth. And then Jesus, the last Adam, gains back what the first Adam lost. You know, Jesus Christ did. Then the third thought I want to share with you here, in verse 29 and 30, man was a vegetarian until after the flood. Before the flood, they were vegetarians. So people that want to go on a biblical diet, if you want to be on a biblical diet, you're going to have to eat meat too, right? Now, look in verse 29 and 30, if you will. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth. All the DNA, all the chromosomes, everything to reproduce, and nothing evolved, right? And every tree in which the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every herb, you know, for meat. And it was so. Now, originally man was meant to be a vegetarian. And he's going to be a vegetarian in the millennium. And beasts will again be vegetarians. We'll see that in Isaiah 11:7. But now we live in a fallen world, right? And this relationship between animals and man changed. Okay? Man was originally told to eat vegetables and fruit. You know, so mothers and grandmothers, you can't tell your children you're to eat vegetables and fruit because the Bible tells us in Genesis. No, right now we can eat meat, right? And I'm so grateful for that because I don't care what to say. I love red meat, amen. And I will eat it. But after the flood, it was okay to eat meat. Go over with me to Genesis 9. if you will. And I can see it now, all you men telling your wives, you know, hey, I can have all the meat I want. I don't want to hear it, you know. Look in Genesis 9, 1 through 4. See how the diet of man changed after the flood. I'll wait for you to get there. Genesis 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Why? Because everybody was destroyed, right? Again, that's not an admonition to have... I don't care how many children you have, but don't use the Bible as an excuse to have them, okay? Y'all understand my drift there? And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth. See, it wasn't that way originally. Man walked with the animals, and the animals, you know, there was no animosity or hostility between man and the animals. And by the way, there will not be in the millennium either. That's when the lion, no, what's that word? I'm about to make my mistake here. No, not the lamb. Huh? Remember we corrected that? What? The wolf and the lamb shall lay together, right? That's one of those things that's not in the Bible. It's not the wolf and the lamb. People say, well, they're going to lay together in the millennium. No, it's the wolf and the lamb. And it's what the text says. Why? Because we're in the millennium. The curse has been lifted, right? Look at it. He says, it shall be of every beast of the earth, and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth upon the earth, and upon the fishes of the sea, your hand are delivered. Into your hand are they delivered. That's everybody but me. I can't catch a fish. Okay? Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Is that what the text says? Okay? Because... you say, well, you know, we kill it, it's dead meat, so we're not supposed to eat it. Well, that don't make good exegesis, right? Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb that I have given you all things. So, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. We shall not eat blood, right? Because God has instituted blood to be the redemption, okay? So after the flood, we can eat meat, okay? Why? Because after the flood, there is this hostility between man and animals, right? If you don't believe me, go to the zoo and try to pet a lion, right? Before there was no hostility. But now there's hostility, right? So we can eat them, right? They get mad at you and they do this and all that. Just kill them and eat them, right? What the text says, you know. So there's a new diet for mankind. Now next week we're going to look at the seventh day in chapter 2, 1 through 4, and we'll be through with our doctrine of creation. And we're going to move Mark to Sunday night, okay, because I want to finish the work of the Holy Spirit in salvation and also go into the book of Ephesians. On Sunday mornings after that, okay? As our musicians come tonight, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, as we went through this study. The answers are truly in Genesis. We've been fed a lie. Many have drank the Kool-Aid. Lord, it's hogwash. It's not true. It's not Bible.